I want you to see this awesome promise in Matthew 8:13. Now, this is the story about the centurion that brought his servant, or wanted to bring his servant. He actually come to get Jesus to heal the servant. And when Jesus said, "I will go heal him," he said, "No, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." He said, "You just speak the word." He said, "I'm a man of authority. I speak the word, tell this soldier to do this, this, and do this, and they do it. I know you're a man of spiritual authority. You speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "Wow, I have not seen such great faith in all Israel." And then look what he says in verse 13. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as you have believed." Let that soak in on you a minute. "As you have believed, so shall it be done unto you." Do you believe that you're healed, or do you believe you're sick? If you believe you're healed, then you're going to be healed. If you believe you're sick, you're going to be sick. See, as this Jesus clearly said here, "As this man believed, so shall it be done unto you." As you have believed. Now, the other day when Cheryl and I was in Norway, I had preached on this very scripture. I had expounded on it at great length. As you believe, this is what's going to happen to you. And that night when we prayed for people at the end, the last man I prayed for was in a wheelchair. I went over and prayed for him. I forget what he had. But anyway, after I prayed for him, I said, "How long has it been since you've walked?" He's, I forget, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, what it was. "I haven't taken a step in whatever, several years." I said, "Get up and walk. I prayed for you." He said, "Sir, you didn't hear me. I can't walk." I said, "Wrong confession. Wrong confession. Wrong kind of belief." I said, you don't believe you can walk. I said, "Do you remember what I said in Matthew 8:13? As you have believed, so shall it be done unto you." It hit him. He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, then I want you to say and believe it. I can walk." "Man," he said, "I can walk in Jesus' name." I said, "Get up." He just went up with him, stood straight up just like that. Amen. I mean, then he looked. He said, "I can't do this." I thought, wrong confession. I said, "Repent." And he fell back down in the chair. I said, "Lord, what am I going to do?" I slapped him in the face a couple of times. I said, "Wrong confession." I said, "Now tell God you're sorry and repent and say, I can walk." He said, "Lord, I repent. I can walk." I said, "Get up." And man, he tried and tried and he couldn't get up. I told another guy that this guy was about 6'4", 5'6", 6'6", big guy, weighed about 280 pounds. I got a hold of one side and I told another guy, I said, "You get hold of him, we're going to pick him up." We picked this guy up out of there. I said, "Now then, you're standing up." I said, "Take a step." I said, "Remember, as you believe, so shall it be done unto you." He said, "Lord, I can walk." I said, "Down a boy, I can walk." And he took another step. "As I believe, Lord, I can walk." And he walked about 6 or 8 steps, and then he just fell down, and we helped him. I said, "Okay, again, I can walk. In the name of Jesus," he's saying, "I can walk, I can walk. I'm believing, Lord, I can walk." We got about another third of the way across the platform, and all of a sudden I look, and one of the cameramen, they'd already turned off all the cameras. A guy's back there with a camera on his shoulder, and he's wandering around looking at this guy taking pictures. This guy's walking, and we get about a third of the way across. He collapses again. We get him up. He's saying, "Lord, thank you. I can walk in the name of Jesus." He gets all the way to the other side of the platform, turns around. I said, "Now there's your wheelchair way over yonder. Forward here, back there, that man in the blue shirt in the back." I said, "I want you to look at that wheelchair and say, Lord, I'm going to walk all the way back to that chair and I ain't going to fall one time in Jesus' name." Amen. He said, "Lord, I can do it." He said, "Will you help me? I can do it. In the name of Jesus, I can do it." And that man walked all the way to that wheelchair and sat down on that wheelchair. He walked all the way across. And that's the way we closed out our last night in Norway. Now, what did the king say? "As you have believed, what? So it be done unto you." You ask somebody, "Do you believe you can teach a Sunday school class for me?" "Oh, no, no, I can't do that." Wrong confession. Y'all see what I mean? "Do you believe that you can drive a car?" "Oh, yeah, I believe I can drive a car." "Do you believe you can fly an airplane?" "Oh, yeah, just give me an airplane. I can fly that baby."
Yes, I can.
What do you believe you can do? All things. Philippians 4:13. Now let's go to another. As Jesus said, as you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. Let's go to Philippians 4:13. And I want to see what Jesus said again through the Apostle Paul that we can do. I can do a few things through Christ which strengthens me. What does it say? Oh, I think we need to have a class on all. Don't you? I mean, how many, Jesus all through this book said we can do all things, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if you're a son or a daughter of God, what kind of limitations did God put in you as his child if you know his word?
None.
There is not nothing you can't do. Nothing. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Somebody comes up to you, I think about somebody come up to a man one day and says, we need to make a machine that will do away with gravity. He had to be a Christian. He had to be a Christian. But most people say, you're crazy. But there was a group of men begin to work on this project, a machine that will eliminate gravity. And they have perfected it now. The U.S. military has it. Now then, let me tell you the machine it's in. I was in the U.S. Air Force. This is a top secret piece of equipment right now, and there's very little information available on this thing, although this machine has been out since 1980. This machine is in one of our most sophisticated airplanes called the TR-3B. The wingspan on the TR-3B is 600 feet. You ain't never seen an airplane with a wingspan 600 feet, have you? But we have that thing. We have three of them, in fact. And they're made in a delta, a big delta. And they have three nuclear-powered engines in each, one in each point. They're nuclear-powered. This airplane runs totally silent on nuclear power. It has a machine in it that eliminates 89% of the magnetic pull of the Earth, the gravitational pull on this piece of equipment. So if a pilot weighs 200 pounds, he actually weighs 22 pounds when he's flying this airplane. 22 pounds. This airplane can hover. It can take off without any sound and can accelerate from nothing to Mach 9 by the time it gets to 120,000 feet. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but let me tell you, that's fast. It is a gigantic platform, and it carries 40 neutron bombs at the same time. That's enough to destroy the entire world. And we have three of those. And they're flying. At one time before intercontinental ballistic missiles, we had one of those machines airborne 24/7 somewhere in the world and are all over the world. And why did we have it up there? Because with the nuclear-powered machines, engines, they never had to come down for fuel. They could stay up for weeks and months. The only thing they had to come back for was for oxygen for the pilots and food. The airplane could stay up indefinitely. And most of us don't even know this thing exists. Most of you have never heard of this machine, have you? The TR-3B. But it's been out since the 80s. But it was so top secret, they didn't want you to know we had it. Now, then, what would you have done if you had, what if you had been the engineer that designed the U-2? I mean, some of you may have heard of the U-2. Gary Powers got shot down with that thing in the 60s, I think it was. But the engineer that designed the U-2, when they shot that thing down, the engineer said, it's time to build an airplane that nobody can shoot down. And so they built the SR-71. I think that's what it was called, the SR-71.
Blackbird.
The Blackbird. Yeah, the Blackbird. Now, that airplane, they published it would fly at 3.2 Mach, 3.2 times the speed of sound. But let me tell you, the thing will fly way beyond that. Now, this thing served six presidents and done great things. It was the one that went over to when Gaddafi did his little thing and killed that, some of you may remember this, when Reagan was president. Reagan's daughter was on a cruise ship going down south somewhere, and Gaddafi sent some of his terrorists over, and they terrorized people on that cruise ship, and one of the older gentlemen in there that was on a wheelchair, they terrorized him and then opened up the side of the ship and pushed him, wheelchair and everything, over the side and killed him. Whenever Reagan's daughter got back from that trip and told her daddy what those terrorists done, and they professed to be from Gaddafi over there, Reagan got some of our finest fighters in England. They sent them over to knock him out and to kill him. Well, unfortunately, Gaddafi wasn't home that night, so it killed everybody else. His wife, his kids, everybody. But Gaddafi wasn't there, so he didn't get killed. But they sent this big blackbird over there a couple of days later to film this area to see what kind of damage they had done. And, of course, when they did, they knew this thing would only fly at 3.2, they thought. And so they had some 4.0 Mach missiles they'd bought from Russia, so they're going to shoot this thing down. And so they fired a bunch of them at them as they come over to take pictures at 100,000-plus feet. And, of course, the pilot that was flying it, as soon as they saw and detected from their equipment that missiles had been fired, they pushed both engines all the way to the firewall. The airplane accelerated to over Mach 8.
Wow.
And they outrun those missiles with no problem. Now, that airplane was retired in the 90s. And some of you never even heard of that sophisticated thing. It's sitting in the museum in Washington and other places. That airplane was retired. Do what? Yeah. I mean, these things came out years and years ago that would fly these kinds of speeds. And today, we don't even know about these things. And here we are in 2009. Some of us have never heard what we have and what's out there. If I were to walk in and you were a group of Christian men and engineers and scientists, and I said, I need something that will do away with your gravitational pull that we can put on an airplane where it'll fly at tremendous speeds. First of all, most of us say that's impossible.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Flesh and Spirit War Against Each Other, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.